Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 181, stanzas 1-4. Blessed be the Lord, for us he cares, and daily all our burden bears. Our God is mighty, strong to save. Jehovah frees us from the grave. 1-4 of 181.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and part of chapter 8. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 7 and the first 6 verses of chapter 8. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, most holy, most righteous and just, most merciful and gracious and long-suffering God, who does sit upon thy throne of glory, and whose Son does have the book in his hand to regulate all that takes place here below. Thou art witness of each and every one of us, our life, but also thou seest the inmost recesses of our hearts. And thou knowest how that we sit and stand here also in thy house, upon this thy holy day, and we are not worthy as so to even draw nigh unto thee. And it is a great wonder that thou dost still bear with those who are from our own side, a stench in thy holy nostrils. For there is nothing in us but that which is guilt and sin and pollution and corruption, except that thou dost renew us. And yet we have heard it in these moments out of thy word, that the prayers of thy people do ascend up as incense before thee. And then they are sweet-smelling sacrifices before thee. And thou dost hear the cries of thy people, not of the Pharisees who did make long prayers standing upon the corners of the streets. But we read of a poor Hannah whose lips did move, but nothing came out of them. And we can read of those in thy word who did but groan and who did but roar and who did but look up, who had no words to say anymore, who could no more say what lives within their hearts. So wretched, Lord, and so miserable and so corrupt that there are no more words to describe it. And Lord, thou knowest where that they are, the Manassehs that do sit upon that cold floor of the prison in all their guilt and in all their sin, but who do yet fold their hands and who do yet bow their knees. And thou sayest it comes up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to thee. Lord, it is such a wonder. It is that which we cannot comprehend. Oh, that thou may give in the midst of us those who may be a little encouraged as still to make their supplication known unto the King, who are unworthy to be heard, who do not dare to go in before the King, lest he do not hold out a golden scepter unto them. Oh, but Lord, show unto them thy great goodness, thy great mercy, thy great grace, which is as wide as the ocean. Then they will so magnify thee, Lord, then it will be a great eternity wherein that song shall be raised, and then thy name shall be so magnified. And when thou dost lift them out of that horrible pit, and upon out of that miry clay and set their feet upon a rock and establish their goings and put a new song in their mouth, even praise unto their God, all that it might be the portion of each and every one of us. Lord, thou knowest that we are ever servers of this world. Our hearts are so mixed, and with all the corruption that is here below, it is all living, dwelling, and reigning in our hearts until thou wilt come, as thou hast said unto a Nicodemus of old, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into that kingdom of God. O Lord, give unto us that new birth, both young and old amongst us. There is none too young, and there is none too old, and we are all standing before thee in our weakness, in our corruption, in our depravity, but we stand before thee, a most mighty and all-powerful and an ever-gracious and merciful God. Oh, that is our only hope. It is our only plea. Once again in this thy holy day, and when we are gathered round about thy holy word, may it not be a disappointment, Lord, for those who have come up with a little desire planted in their hearts by thee, a little longing for a little word that is applied unto their heart also, when they are so cold, when they are so far away from thee. But thou art everywhere, and thou art unto the ends of the earth, and then we cannot hide from thee if we will go down even unto the lowest parts of the sea. Lord, that thou may give then a little cry, a little sigh from the hearts of those who are lonely and who cannot find their life and their place here in this world, and that to see the emptiness, and that to see and feel the vanity, and that to desire, and that they may come and return unto their Maker, and that they may once again come to serve and to magnify Him who did made us. O Lord, that thou may remember thy own children. Thou knowest their place. Then it is so often that they are lying upon beds of slothfulness. For we are from our own side. We cannot keep it up. We cannot uphold the truth within us, the life within us. It must all come from thee, the beginning and also the upholding and also the end of it. But thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for them hast undertaken, that thou may show it also in this day with a little token of thy favor, of thy nearness, and of thy communion in thy house of prayer. Do give unto those who are complete strangers of thy work of grace. O Lord, give unto them a new heart, a heart of flesh. Thou knowest all that lives within a man. It is all depravity. It is all sin. And we may have that which is outward, a great blessing from thee, and that we come up, even with an outward desire, to thy house Sabbath after Sabbath day, and even in an outward way, that there is a longing for that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Lord, that thou mayst so bless also that coming up under thy holy word, that we may be used, Lord, as a little instrument in thy holy fingers, in all our poverty and in all our shortcomings, and that there may be a little word from thee. Hast thou not commanded us to open our mouth? And hast thou not said, if thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, and thou shalt be as my mouth, wilt thou do so also in this day, that new ones, Lord, may be born in Zion, that thy work may be magnified in a dead a sinner, in dead dry bones, that thou wilt make them to live, and that thou wilt clothe them with the robe of thy righteousness. O, give a great work to be done, and by thy Spirit in our midst as a congregation, wilt thou look upon all the needy, all that are lonely, all that miss loved ones, those that are widows, widowers, and orphans. Remember thou all those that are old, and when the body and the mind does break down, and when we go and feel that we go unto our long home, when the windows, those that look out of the windows, they be darkened. Lord, that silver cord, and that will soon be loosed, wilt thou grant that those last years, and that those last days may be the best days. It becomes so discouraging as sometimes for those who have been sitting under thy truth for so many years, and who have looked on from the outside and with a longing heart. Lord, look upon them in this day. Look upon them in this hour. And wilt thou be pleased to grant them a gracious favor from above, that thou may feed thy people, each and every one where they are sitting. Thou knowest the condition of their life. O Lord, they are safe by thee, but they do not feel it. And they are not able just to exercise that faith that thou requirest of them, and which is so precious to them and so beautiful to them, and which they wish and desire to be able to exercise, saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, remember them in this day also, that thou wouldst revive thy own work in the midst of the years, in wrath remembering mercy, and that that may be used also, when the mouth may go open in our midst, to the drawing of others. Remember our youth and children, when school is now closed, and the summer begins, and thou knowest all that will take place in the months to come. And wilt thou watch over each and every one of them, preventing a sudden and an unexpected death. And when there is a little time and rest from all their studies, that they may have a little desire to go into their inner chambers in the days of their youth, or to take thy word before them and to lay it before thee, and to bow their knees, and to say, Lord, could it be for me also, that they might learn to seek thee while they are young, and when their hearts are yet tender, and that in that time that thou dost so often work, remember all those that bring thy word. The candidate wilt thou make all things well in the time to come. Bring him to his congregation in the appointed time, and provide for them together. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants. And wilt thou remember those upon the mission field, and when they labor far from family and friends, but may they not be far from thee, and that they may experience thy nearness and thy favor and thy blessing. Wilt thou be with our government in all the responsibility that lies upon them. Give them wisdom and discretion. Give them patience. Give them the tender fear of thy name. And the judges also of our land, Let them rule according to thy holy and moral law, and that all things may be done decently and in order in our country and in also the churches. Wilt thou be with us in this afternoon hour, that thou may be in our midst in a feeling and in a believing way, that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our many, many sins that rise up before thee day after day, but wilt thou look upon us through him whom thou lovest and who is thy beloved and only begotten Son, and grant unto him a great reward and the multitude of subjects that may be to the honor of the King. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 76, all the stanzas. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor in beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. 1-4 of Psalter 76. beloved congregation, last week we heard what happened when the sixth seal was opened before the throne of God. That has brought us to the great day of the judgment of God. Every sin that is committed by us in this world is going to be recompensed. It is going to be punished. Every thought, every word, and every deed, it will be recompensed in Christ, or it will be recompensed in ourselves. It cannot be any different if God is righteous and if God is just. But we have heard last week about the wrath. We have heard about the wrath of the Lamb. But we have heard last week of the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of the Father. There is no sin like the sin against dying love. That is a very special love. And the sin against dying love is also a very special sin. Thus, it is a testimony of the proud rebellion that lives within our hearts. It is a testimony that we do not need a Savior and a Redeemer that is proclaimed unto us. It is actually the epitome of unbelief. When we sin against dying love, we can speak about the sin that we do see in the midst of this world. But what about our own sin? That is the sin of our pride that will not bow, that will not acknowledge who that we are before a holy and a righteous God. Thus we have a solemn warning, especially for us who do sit under that preaching of the gospel week after week. But when that Lamb proceeds in his wrath against the proud rebellion of man, then what is going to happen to the true church? What is going to happen to that true people of the Lord? We just heard read to us in the beginning of the eighth chapter of Revelation of the opening of the seventh seal. We read there that there was silence. There was silence in heaven for half an hour. That is very mysterious. I do not dare to say what that silence in heaven means. It is possible and that it is pointing to a rest from all turmoil. Just like the Sabbath day is a day of rest, so that eternal Sabbath has now begun. That is the interpretation of some expositors of the Holy Scriptures. But we do see there nonetheless that there is an an opening, there is an introduction to, in the opening of the seventh seal, there is an introduction to another seven. It is the introduction to seven trumpets. And then following those seven trumpets, we see that there are seven vials. Thus we have the three principal prophecies that are in the book of Revelation. They are not likely successive one after the other, but likely that they are being fulfilled next to one another, describing perhaps different aspects in of that coming of that kingdom of God. We are not going to go further with those visions at this time. We have heard now God's revealed purpose in the hand of Christ for the bringing in of his kingdom. But when we heard now that the Lord is going to bring his judgments upon the earth, Then we may certainly ask ourselves, what is now going to be the lot? What is now going to be the portion of God's own true church? And that is now what we find in the present chapter, in Revelation chapter 7. Thus our text can be found in Revelation 7 verses 9 and 10. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So far the words of our text. A cry of a loud voice. First the criers. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, the criers. Second, the cry, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Thus, a cry of a loud voice, first the criers, and second the cry. We say a cry of a loud voice, and cried with a loud voice. Not many voices, but it is one voice. And yet we read here that this cry is coming from a great multitude. Thus it is one voice, one great voice of this multitude. And that voice is completely and perfectly united. They are all crying the same thing, and they all cry together. We read that the contention between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp that they parted one from the other. That is so sad. But that is now so often what is happening, even in the midst of the true church here on earth. A parting so often of those who actually do cry with this multitude, that do actually cry with one voice. They already have one voice. And when that flesh will one day be laid aside, then also from those who are parted one from another in this world, and who belong yet together in that one multitude, then it is going to be evident in the midst of the whole world, and that those also that belong together, they have been crying indeed with this one voice. Who are those criers? John saw them. John heard them. And John was asked by one of the elders whether he knew who these be. And what was his answer? Sir, thou knowest. Thus John did not know. He saw, but he did not know what he saw. He could describe it, but he did not know the interpretation. He did not know the meaning. Do you also experience the same? Because there are things that God's church may sometimes see, and they may see them with an eye of faith so clearly, and they can describe to you exactly what they saw. Even when you would wake them up in the middle of the night, then they know just what happened. But if you ask them what it means, if you ask them to give an interpretation of what they have seen, then they will have to say, I do not know. So John, he says, Sir, thou knowest. What does John need? What do those people need? They need light upon light. Thus, those are two different things. It is one thing to have light. It is one thing for faith to behold something. But it is something else for that people to know what it is. To know what it is that the Lord has given unto them, that they have received from the Lord. And so this was now explained to John. That is a blessed thing. When the Spirit of the Lord is pleased to come back upon the things that he has shown, that he has spoken to his people, that they might now receive an explanation. And then it is also a right thing that they may ask the Lord. If the Lord has privileged them with such a blessing, then they have questions about that blessing. And then they may rightfully go back unto the Lord. And they may ask the Lord if he will come again, and if he will show unto them what this is, if he will explain it unto them. And he said to me, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thus, we have just heard how the Lord says that he is going to destroy all the enemies of that Lamb. But now the Lord shows John the other side, as it were, how it will be with his people. Thus, the church is dwelling amongst the proud and amongst the wicked world. The Lord is not removing his people out of the world. No, he prays that the Lord may keep them from the evil of the world, but he is not taking them out of the world. We can read in Goshen, boys and girls, when the Lord sent the the afflictions, the plagues in the land of Egypt, and then the later plagues, the Lord was making a distinction between the children of Israel and the children of the Egyptians, so that those later plagues did not come upon the children of Israel. But that is so often not the way that it is now in our time, so that both the world and the church think of Asaph when he looked around in the world, and then he is asking what is now the profit of the service of the Lord. When he sees the prosperity of the wicked, and then it can be that the world and the church do have questions why that is that the wicked and the righteous do receive the same portion, it seems, in this world. Solomon spoke about that. He says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to him that serveth God and to him that serveth him not. So we read it also here. You say, is there actually a distinction then? A distinction between God's children and the people of the world? There is. That is a distinction that John here is shown, that is revealed to him. And what do we read? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Thus we heard about those judgments that were coming upon the rebellion. But now we hear that actually there was a stay of those judgments for a moment. And before those judgments were allowed to come, they are pictured as the winds that is not just light and friendly winds, but the tornadoes and the hurricanes, all that is going to come against the enemies of the Lord, that the Lord has a stay on them. They are to be held in the four quarters of the earth. And why? Well, there is a specific purpose. They are to be held there until a seal is placed on every single one of the servants of the Lord. That is not of the ministers of the Lord, but it is of all those who love and serve the Lord, all of the Lord's own people. That's a seal. We have spoken about what a seal is before, but here it is really being used just as the word like a mark, a certain mark that is being placed upon those persons. Thus the Lord is endorsing, as it were, his own people, those who are truly his own. He is putting upon them a mark of of distinction. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder that the Lord goes to put a mark on certain people in the world? And why is that a wonder? Because if the Lord did not do this, if the Lord did not make a distinction between persons, would there be a distinction? There would be no distinction. What distinction would there be? There is no distinction between us and the world. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that you have a heart as a heathen? Do you ever feel that you have a heart as a Gentile? Do you ever feel that coming up and sitting in the benches in the house of the Lord makes you no different than the world inside, in your heart, in your being, in your disposition? It gives you nothing. It gives you no status before the Lord. No, there is no difference. We have the same evil heart. We have the same iniquity. We are all fallen sons and daughters of Adam. There is only one difference. And that difference is because of a mark. The Lord makes a distinction. And he puts a mark of distinction, a mark of election, a mark of choosing upon his own people. There is now our reason, our ground of hope. Not the opposite, young people. Not the opposite. That you say election that is so discouraging. No. But that mark of distinction, because if the Lord never did that, there would be no hope for any person of the whole human race. The same as all the devils, there is no hope for them. Not a moment's hope. And why is there hope amidst mankind? Because the Lord, we know that. The Lord tells us that. He does not tell who they are, but he tells us he is doing it, that he has done it. And thus he gives us reason to pray. He gives us reason to ask and to read and to seek with all our heart, all our might, all our strength, that we also may be one of those who are receiving such a mark from the Lord. You say, well, I go to church. I am baptized. Is that now that mark? Is that the mark here that the Lord is speaking about when he says a mark is placed upon these persons? It is not. We can say that for sure. How can we say that? Because of what we read. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, and so on. 12,000 of each of the tribes of Israel. But how big were the tribes of Israel? They were many, many more than 12,000. Thus, it is a portion, a certain portion of the children of Israel. It is a certain portion of that outward church. Oh, a certain portion of us also. What portion of us? What portion of us are receiving that mark from the Lord? It is a portion that the Lord knows. It is a portion that the Lord has numbered here at 12,000. Thus they are not all Israel that are of Israel, but the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, that we might seek to be part also of this portion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he owns that people. And it is necessary that he own them. And he put a mark on them. Why is that so necessary? Well, because who are his ministers? Who are going to carry out the destruction of the enemies of the Lord, who did that on when the Lord went over the Israelites and the Egyptians, and there was a sword dipped in blood. Who did that? Well, you say that was the angel of the Lord. He received a command from the Lord. And now here also, the angels of the Lord, they will be used as the ministers of God to carry out his command. but those angels of the Lord do not know who is the Lord's and who is not the Lord's. How will they know? Well, the Lord, he says, we must mark them. And when we mark them, then those destructive angels, then they will send their means of destruction. They will know who is who. What would you want the Lord to use besides such a mark, people of the Lord? Would you want the Lord to say to his ministers, you must now go and look for the manifestations of the exercises of faith. You must go among the people, and where you see that faith being exercised, that is now my people. Would you want that people of the Lord? Oh, you say, where would I be? What is now manifest in my life that those angels would see that I am one of the people? You say, that is poor business in my life. The exercises of faith, where are they? And yet, oh, do you not sometimes have a hope that the Lord has looked upon you, that the Lord has had dealings with you, that the Lord has spoken to your soul? Is it not to you a great comfort that the Lord says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Thus, the salvation of God's church does not depend on the exercises of their faith. The salvation of the church is all depending on the Lord. The exercises of faith, and faith itself is a gift that is coming from the Lord. But the salvation of the Lord, that is His doing, His work, His choice, and therefore standing so absolutely sure and certain as the very decree of God. We say the criers. These are they which came out of great tribulation. Ah, you say, what is then the profit? What is the profit of such a sealing? If the people still have to, in the world, endure a great tribulation, what has it profited them that they have been sealed first by the Lord? Then evidently that tribulation has touched them. Or in that sealing, there is a certainty that they will come out of that tribulation. They will come out of it with their life. They may not come out of it with their natural life, but they will come out of it with that spiritual life. They will come out of it unto eternal life. That is a great comfort to that people. When they say sometimes to themselves, where is this all now going to end in my life? All these things are against me. I will one day perish at the hand of Saul. It is better that I should flee quickly to the land of the Philistines. I do not know how all these things can ever be for my good. But what does the Lord say here? He says that the tribulation will be measured by the Lord unto his own people. That they must go through that tribulation, but they will come out of that tribulation. They will not be destroyed by that tribulation, but it is going to be just the opposite. The wicked will curse God for the tribulation. The church is going to bless God for that tribulation. They are going to taste honey on the end of that rod. They're going to kiss that rod that it smite them. Also error that is going to destroy so much of the enemies of the Lord. It may have a place by times in the life of God's children also, but it is never going to destroy them. No, that church is preserved by the Lord. It is a church that cannot be lost. It is protected by him, even if they are straying away. And then the Lord is bringing back his people once again. They are his people. They are the sheep of his pasture. Let that church, that dry church, go on. Oh, those lions are chained that are roaring at that church, standing on both sides of that way. John beheld a great multitude which no man can number. Think you can think in the Old Testament, boys and girls, where that was the same. The Lord Jesus came to Abraham and he said, "Thy seed that will be as the stars of heaven for multitude." And we read here, out of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, an innumerable multitude, and yet a multitude that is numbered by the Lord. 12 times 12,000. Thus, a complete number of that church of God, everyone known unto him, and not one of them able to be lost by him. And John sees and he hears what the activity of that church is. But let us sing first from 86, 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at his command. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86. A cry of a loud voice, the criers second the cry, what we read, and cried with a loud voice. The original language, that word is like the raven, boys and girls. When a raven cries, it is actually the word to croak. Thus, there is a great earnestness, in the calling, in the crying out that is contained in that word, like the two blind men. And they cried after the Lord Jesus. We read of the Canaanitish woman who was not turned away from the Lord Jesus with every seeming discouragement, but she cried after him. We hear that earnestness in the children and in Israel when they are crying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The same word is used for the Lord Jesus. And when he was on the cross and he cried with a loud voice and he gave up the ghost. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb, and clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So where do those white robes come from? We heard already that white robes were given unto every one of them. But here we read that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we have two different figures. The first one that is speaking about receiving something, that is the Lord's work to give them something. And here we're hearing about the church itself. There is an activity that is within the church. They are doing something. They are taking their robes and they are washing them in that blood of Christ. So what is it now, young people? What is it? Is it now God's work or is it man's work? Ah, it is really both. Here we speak not about those who are unconverted. No, we read this is about the true church. So we will not speak about man's spiritual ability in man when he is without grace. That is impossible, because a man is dead in sins and in trespasses. But the Lord makes him alive. And thus when he becomes alive, yes, then he is capable of doing something. And thus we read here about the work of God, and we read here about the work of Christ, and that is applying to that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that these robes, these white robes are referring to. Thus they are it is the Lord Jesus' righteousness, but it becomes the righteousness of his church. It has to be, otherwise the church receives no benefit out of Christ. It needs to be applied unto them. Is it also applied to us? How now? How does the righteousness of Christ, those white robes, how do they become the churches? Ah, you say, that is by faith. That is right. Because faith is the hand by which that the church receives things that are spiritual, that we cannot see and hear and taste and smell and so on. Then we need faith that has to be given to us from the Lord. So the hand receives spiritual gifts. But no hand can rightly receive a gift unless it is given to him. Isn't that right, boys and girls? Because if it is not given to you, then you have stolen it. And you may not steal it. And if you do steal it, you have to give it back. And now that is with the church also. They do not rightly receive any spiritual gift unless it is given to them. But now there is another side. When that gift is given to them, how do they receive it? There is an activity that is their own activity. It is an activity of faith that the Lord gives them to exercise that they may receive that spiritual gift. Thus, Paul says that faith itself is a gift of God. And yet it is the activity of the soul itself, that is the experience of the true church. It is not the Lord's faith. It is the faith of his people. And they know what it is when they may believe. I believed, the psalmist says, and therefore have I spoken. Oh, they will say the same. And they may speak. That is such a blessed thing. When the Lord's children may exercise faith, and then their mouth goes open. And that is in the midst of the congregation also a thing which is so drawing unto the people that are in the congregation. The men, the women, the children, when they may hear something that comes out of that living faith. But do you know what they also know? They know what it is when they cannot exercise that faith. When they say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith, then they feel it. Oh, they do not have that strength on their own to exercise it. And now we have this washing. They wash their robes in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that refer to? That refers to the use that the church is making of that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in all their corruption and in all of their guilt. The use that they may make of that in their souls fleeing unto him. Their robes are filthy. Their robes are polluted. They have to acknowledge that. They have tried to make themselves clean. They have tried to wash their robes, but they cannot make them clean. No, the bride, she says, I am black. Oh, there is a church that experiences that there is nothing in that whole world that is able to help them also. There is nothing from within. There is no one from without that is able to make their robe white and clean. But now when the Lord is revealed, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when that blood of that cross may be revealed to such a people, then their soul is so drawn, and then the Lord teaches them to flee, their soul to flee unto him. Oh, that is such a precious moment. The first time that free and sovereign grace may be opened unto that people. And their soul may see it, when their eyes may go open. And the soul may believe that what he promises unto such a one as I am, he will also do. And their soul that may flee unto him in faith. And you know what they experience in that moment? They experience whiteness. Whiteness. Of those robes. Or they see at the very least where that whiteness comes from. That it is so possible that their robe also would become white. and that it would become white in one moment, when they may only receive it from the side of the Lord, when that righteousness that he has merited, that he has performed, that he has bought for his church, may only be applied to my soul, then it is all done. It is all done in one moment. Then they are receiving that robe, and at the same time, their heart that is fleeing to him, that heart is washing their own robe in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, those precious moments, the precious moments, never to be forgotten moments. Then the church sees where it is to be found. They never forget where it is to be found. And now that searching, that it may also become mine. Oh, welcome in the strife, that strife that to now receive it for myself. Or are we also in that strife? What does the soul do then, even in such a moment? Oh, they become, they are now mixed in with this blessed multitude in our text who are crying. Oh, they learn that cry. We would say that song, the beautiful song of the raven. That is, we say, not maybe even so beautiful to our ears in this life. But he is crying, 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 and he is not stopping that cry. And what is that cry saying? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, they are singing. They are crying with their whole heart, with their whole being. And when they have come to see that it is not of merit, but that it is of free and sovereign grace, salvation unto God, unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Oh, there is nothing, congregation, that is so difficult in this whole world. You can build a skyscraper, but there is nothing so difficult as for the Lord to get his honor from a fallen creature. You ever feel that? You ever feel that, boys and girls? That you can sing with your mouth and you cannot sing with your heart. But the Lord is going to get his honor from fallen creatures. And he does get that honor. That is what we read here in our text. From whom? These are they that have come out of great tribulation. Did it destroy them? Oh, it did not. It did not. No, it only did that people good. All through that tribulation and whatever they had to endure. While the world is being destroyed by error, by all the providences of this world, and all the judgments and disease that comes on mankind. And then that measured portion, oh, it is not too much. It is not too much for that people to bear, because the Lord knows his own, and he knows what they are able to bear, and he knows exactly what they need. Oh, in it they have learned, they have been taught their unworthiness. They have been made a poor creature before the Lord. They have been made nothing in themselves. It is in all those tribulations that their soul has learned to flee unto that blessed mediator, for his righteousness, that they may be justified, that they may be redeemed by the Lord. Through all those tribulations, they are sanctified. Through all those tribulations, the Lord is removing their heart from the world and from everything that this world has to offer. And through all those tribulations, the Lord is drawing them. Drawing them, their heart, unto the things that are above. That they may be delivered from all that is here below. Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Unto him that sitteth upon the throne, who can fathom that eternal decree of God for the salvation of his own church. It is just like a little glimpse sometimes that a people may get. Did you ever get it? Just a little glimpse into what can we say of it? We have made such a mess of everything. We have destroyed everything. And we have destroyed ourselves. And we will destroy ourselves if the Lord does not permit. But now that eternal decree of the Father, or from that never begun eternity, sitting upon his sovereign throne, and there to decree the salvation of a people, in order that he may receive the complete honor and glory of his own name, not only for the creation, not only of his goodness, but also of his grace, also of his mercy, and also of his justice. It is unfathomable. And then also to him who is the Lamb, a cry, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, really, how unfathomable. If you may only see it for a moment, by a true saving faith, for just a moment, and then you sink away under that dying love. And then for an ungodly creature, oh, the wicked congregation, the enemies of that Lamb, it will be a worm that dieth not. It will be a fire that is never quenched. It is a people that are going to gnash it with their teeth because of a rejection. The rejection of a sacrifice. The rejection of a Lamb. The rejection of mercy. The rejection of grace. Because we could not, because we would not become a sinner before God. And then the righteous, they are going to cry forever and forever for the glory, to magnify the grace, the salvation of him that sitteth upon the throne and of the Lamb. Eternity will not be too long for this. And that people are never going to get tired of crying as a raven. That is never going to become an old work to that people. O congregation, we have come to the end of our consideration here of John's vision. John's vision given to him from the Lord. The opening of the seals. When it was revealed unto him that everything, even though there is so much tribulation, he is on that Isle of Patmos. And then there are those churches and he cannot go there. He is in exile and he loves those churches. And then you cannot understand why the dealings of the Lord in such a way with his people. And the Lord says to John, he says, it is all in the hands of the Lamb. And that book that is now taken by him. And now there is such a great mercy. And there is such a great grace in him that sitteth upon the throne, congregation. There is such a great mercy and there is such a great grace in this Lamb. To all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And on the other side, there is such a wrath of that Lamb. And there is such a wrath of the Father of that Lamb, of him that sitteth upon that throne. To all that say, we will not have this man to rule over us. Is now not the truth of the revelation as we have considered it in these past weeks? Can we see not the truth of it? We live in a certain way in a special day. It is awful, but it is also a good time in certain ways. The old days, we say the good old days, they were not all good old days. And now today we know far and wide, we know it in a moment, what is happening on the other side of the globe, the whole world. And now you can take your Bible, the Holy Scriptures, and you can put it next to all that you do see and hear. And you may prove it to yourself, whether that Holy Scripture is the truth, whether all the things that are written therein are not coming to pass, are not being fulfilled, even unto this moment. If we will read that Scriptures, and if we will but open our eyes and our ears, we cannot but see it. But now to believe it, to believe those Holy Scriptures and everything that is written therein, that is another matter. Do you feel that? Is that now a burden to you? Do you grieve about that? Bring that on your knees. Say, Lord, break this hard heart of mine. Break this stony heart of mine. Oh, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Let the threatenings of the Lord come into your heart, make you fear the wrath of the Lamb and of him that sitteth upon the throne. And let that prize, the prize at the end of that race that is set before us, let that draw you as we read it here. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring thy word into our hearts. They are dead hearts by nature, and they are hard and cold hearts so often, even after received grace. And therefore we pray to thee, and we have heard it when we have heard thy word read, that the prayers of the saints do come up as incense before thee. Lord, give thy people to pray for themselves, for their families, and for us as a congregation, that we may receive what we do not deserve, what we cannot give ourselves,
and what we cannot miss, traveling to meet thee. Wilt thou keep us from the world and from sin and from that destruction that we bring upon ourselves, and that we may magnify and glorify thee for thy salvation, beginning here below and continuing forever and forever. Lord, bless thy word, if thou hast given us to be thy servant and to bring it, that it may not be unprofitable, but that thou would use us as a little instrument in thy hands, in all our weakness and in all our frailty. Do it, Lord, for thy great name's sake, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 254, 2, 4, and 5. Almighty power, the Lord maintains, exalted over all he reigns. He holds the valleys in his hand. He makes the mighty mountains stand. And what follows, 2, 4, and 5 of 254.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.